Radio Prague News.
Two checks are sentenced for terrorist links in Turkey. Exports are seen growing by more than 10%. And Victoria Pilsen cautious ahead of Champions League return leg. Two Czechs accused of being part of the Kurdish militia YPG were sentenced in a Turkish court on Wednesday to 6 years and 3 months each in prison. The two, Marketa Vseglichova and Miroslav Farkas, could have faced maximum jail sentences of 15 years. They say they were humanitarian workers who aimed to create a field hospital in an area near the Turkish-Iraqi border. Turkey regards the YPG as a terrorist organisation. The two were detained in November last year. The verdict can be appealed. And Czech Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek responded to Wednesday's verdict by describing it as a huge personal disappointment. And he expressed hope that the appeal to a higher court would re-examine the facts and overrule the earlier verdict. In a statement, the ministry confirmed that the head of Czech diplomacy would contact his Turkish counterpart in the coming days about the case. In the meantime, the ministry will give all possible help. Pending a likely appeal, the two Czechs will remain in custody. The Czech Association of Exporters has suggested that export growth will continue at more than 10% till the end of the year. That should result in a record export figure of 3.5 trillion crowns for 2017, according to the association. The biggest question marks over that figure is whether labour shortages in certain key sectors of the Czech economy will start to bite more, and whether the key auto industry sector will face a slowdown or production stoppages. A valuable 16th-century wooden church in North Moravia was destroyed in a fire on Tuesday night. 10 fire units were dispatched to the blaze at Guti near Friedrichmistek, but it was already engulfed in flames when they arrived, according to a spokesman for the local fire service. He said it was impossible to put a monetary value on the church's historical significance. The church was built in the 1560s and extensively renovated earlier this decade. Minister of Health Miloslav Ludvík met with Finance Minister Ivan Pilný on Wednesday to seek a boost in the proposed budget for his ministry for 2018. Ludvík was originally seeking 3.7 billion crowns more, a slight drop from his May demand that the health budget be boosted by 4.3 billion crowns. But after discussions, the minister said his demands had been cut to 2 billion crowns, but this, he warned, was cutting services to the bone. And Victoria Pilsen manager Pavel Verba says it would be suicidal for his team to play for a 0-0 draw in the second leg of their Champions League third qualifying round tie with Romanian club FCSB on Wednesday night. The first leg in Bucharest ended 2-2, so a 0-0 or 1-1 draw would be enough to see Pilsen through. If the club advance, they will reach the playoffs for the Champions League and also guarantee themselves a place in the Europa League if they fail to get to the main competition. And finally, the weather. Rain is expected in the west and parts of central Bohemia on Thursday, but it should remain cloudy with sunny intervals in the rest of the country. Top temperatures will range between 28 and 34 degrees Celsius. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, two Czechs are sentenced by a Turkish court for alleged links to terrorists, Czech prospects at the Athletic World Championships, and more than a bit of bother with Bitcoin. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Two Czech nationals, Marketa Vselichová and Miroslav Farkas, have been sentenced to 6 years, 3 months in prison by a Turkish court. The couple was accused of being part of the Kurdish militia YPG, which Turkey considers a terrorist group. The two had said they were humanitarian workers who aimed to create a field hospital near the Turkish-Iraqi border. Jan Vellinger reports.
If there was cautious optimism over the fate of two Czechs accused in Turkey of aiding the Kurdish militia, YPG, it didn't last long on Wednesday morning. Hours after their trial began, sentences were already handed down of more than 6 years to both. The defendant's statement that they had hoped to build a field hospital apparently did not convince the court of their innocence, and they could have received even stiffer sentences of up to 15 years in prison. Ahead of their mission for the hospital last year, they apparently told their friend Janusz Konieczny of their plans. While not supportive, he defended the duo after their arrest, saying he did not think that they had committed crimes of which they were accused, such as smuggling weapons or YPG materials. Nor did he think, as Turkey had maintained, that they had received military training. Here's what he told Radio Prague last year.
I would like to explain that Markéta Všelichová is not a member of YPG. I'm not sure about Mirek, but Markéta Všelichová is not a member of YPG, and they were in the safe places in the Rojava in Syria. And their goal was to build a field hospital. It could be very crazy if they have materials of YPG.
The Turkish daily Sabah last year reported on the case, describing it as the first time Turkish security forces had conducted an operation against so-called foreign fighters for the YPG. And the case against them, Czech TV reported, was largely based on material the couple obtained during earlier visits, which they themselves posted on the social networks. And the prosecution claimed that Mr. Farkas was known in so-called terrorist networks under a code name. Czech Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek responded to Wednesday's ruling by calling it a huge personal disappointment. He expressed hope in the appeals process and that a higher instance court would re-examine the facts and eventually overrule the earlier verdict. In a statement, the ministry confirmed that the head of Czech diplomacy would contact his Turkish counterpart in the coming days about the case. And the two Czechs, meanwhile, remain in custody pending a likely appeal.
Now, most of the Czech team for the World Athletics Championships in London left on Wednesday, 2 days before the start of one of the biggest events in global sports this year. Barbara Špatáková will be taking part in the javelin event and looking to get gold at the same stadium where she won the Olympics in 2012. But there are also a number of other Czech medal hopes to watch for. Ian Willoughby reports.
Since the foundation of the Czech Republic, the country's always earned at least one medal at every World Athletics Championships. Several members of the current 27-member Czech team have a realistic chance of helping at least equal that record. They include Barbara Špatáková, who's achieved the second-longest throw in the women's javelin this year, shot putter Tomáš Staněk, fourth in the world in his discipline in 2017, and javelin thrower Jakub Vadlich and hurdler Zuzana Hejnová, who rank sixth in theirs. Špatáková won a Diamond League meeting in Rabat, Morocco, just over a fortnight ago, though she complained about the heat and conditions. But perhaps that was good preparation for London after all, the 2007 world champion says.
The last Diamond League meeting in Rabat really knocked me for six. But then my trainer and I were saying that if you are going to climb to the top, there has to be some kind of slide to the bottom first. Sometimes what they call the principle of supercompensation is necessary, and now things are on the up.
Sprint superstar Usain Bolt is famously hanging up his spikes after London. By contrast, Špatáková, now 36, says she's made no immediate plans to follow suit.
The way I look at it, I don't have a reason to pack it in just yet. But at this age, I think the end can come from one day to the next.
Špatáková has fond memories of the World Championships venue, having taken her second Olympic gold medal at the Olympic Stadium 5 years ago. And Czech coach Tomáš Dvořák says the entire team have much to look forward to in the UK capital.
10 dní prostě atletiky na úžasném stadionu.
It's going to be 10 days of athletics in an amazing stadium with an amazing atmosphere. British fans really understand athletics. But also, as it's in London, fans will be there from Europe and all over the world. The atmosphere was really charged there in the Olympics and the Diamond League, and I believe it will spur the athletes on to great performances.
Dvořák refused to speculate much on how the Czechs would fare in London, but he said he did believe they'd be taking medals, plural, back to Prague.
Ian Willoughby with that rundown on the upcoming championships. Now it's time for our regular feature, Marketplace. Prague is undoubtedly a hub for the use of the alternative cryptocurrency, Bitcoin. But Bitcoin is now very much at a crossroads as some of its technological flaws start to catch up. A sort of civil war has developed around its future with, as the cliche goes, only time likely to tell who the victor will be. The discussion there, as more than 200 people crowded into a meeting in Prague to discuss the future of the alternative, some might say revolutionary, cryptocurrency Bitcoin. Mostly young males, often more geek than Che Guevara or libertarians, this was a highly committed audience that listened to a two-hour presentation about the options ahead of Bitcoin before the meeting was thrown open to the floor. Perhaps for some, Bitcoin is an expression of an alternative way of life, outside the remit of governments and authorities. For some, though, it's an investment like any other, albeit with, for outsiders, an unfamiliar structure and vocabulary. Hard fork, soft fork, miners, SegWit. These are the terms bandied around as speakers and the audience got to grips with the somewhat slippery scenarios facing Bitcoin in the coming days. For, make no mistake, Bitcoin does appear to be at a crossroads which could probably see it advance and become stronger, or could subject it to a fallout from a damaging civil war. From August 1st, the Bitcoin community was due to choose between a radical transformation and a more organic development aimed at ironing out some of the technological barriers that are impeding Bitcoin's development. Czechs, and especially those living in Prague, appear to have bought big time into the Bitcom phenomenon. Slushpool, a combined effort where those who help to maintain and develop the technology that allows Bitcoin to operate and are rewarded with new currency, so-called miners, is believed to be the first of its kind in the world. And there are other Czech firsts in the sector as well, such as an electronic wallet developed by the Prague-based company Satoshi Labs, which allows secure and anonymous Bitcoin payments anywhere you go. And there is even a developing legal scene giving advice about issues connected with Bitcoin payments use and agreements involving the use of the cryptocurrency. Pavel Urbatschka and Radim Kozub of Blockchain Legal started operating this year, giving advice about some of the legal issues surrounding Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. Urbatschka gave his take on the Prague cryptocurrency scene.
I would say the Czech Republic and mainly Prague is one of the most, let's say, concentrated areas, you know, with Bitcoin enthusiasts. Especially here in Paralympolis, you can meet many people from the Bitcoin space. So, yeah, well, I'm not sure why is that, but I guess there were some people in the beginning of Bitcoin which were in Czech Republic.
The Prague Cafe, Paralympolis, is a sort of alternative venue where you need Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies to buy a coffee, beer or sandwich. There is also a screen on the wall which gives you the latest exchange rate of Bitcoin against the US dollar. Radim Kozub was brought in at the end of the July meeting at the cafe, and Kozub outlined how difficult it is to get decisions taken in the Bitcoin environment, one of the handicaps that has overshadowed its development.
Of course, about the network as itself, the decisions are made by miners, by nodes as well. So the people who have nodes have the computer that serves as a node. And by the end of the day, it's also the community of users. So because there is a special kind of update that Pavel will explain later, which is user-activated software, UASF, so even users are deciding, users are the stakeholders of the network. So it's a very complex question. It's been decided by many actors, by many players, and each of them have different influence in different situations. But it's definitely, there is no central authority that can say, that can impose any rule that is absolute and that can enforce the rule.
One aspect of Bitcoin's recent problems was actually witnessed by the Prague Cafe and its customers firsthand. When you pay with Bitcoin, there is the price of the basic product itself, the sandwich or beer, but also the extra charges for its use, which helps cover the costs of the network's upkeep and development. But at one stage, the network was overcharged with what amounted to spam transactions. Pavel Urbatschka takes up the story.
If you wanted to pay, let's say, here in coffee, in this Bitcoin coffee, that you had to, you know, pay a fee in the same amount as a coffee. And that's the outcome of, let's say, the technical abilities of Bitcoin at this moment. Because you cannot put more transaction than 4 to 7 transactions per second. So you cannot compete with Visa and so on. Basically, what is happening is that people all people using Bitcoin compete amongst themselves to get the space in these blocks. So you can put your transaction in the Bitcoin, you have to pay fee. If more people want to use Bitcoin, then they have to pay higher and higher fee. Mm-hmm. That's what happening. Yeah, it's limited.
There are some rumours, though nothing is proved, that the spam overload was created in part by those lobbying for a radical overhaul of the current Bitcoin system. The Prague Cafe got round that problem in part by using alternative cryptocurrency for a while. Now the Bitcoin charges appear to have returned to a more normal and acceptable level. The backers of the radical overhaul, or hard fork, are also offering extra Bitcoin currency, so-called Bitcoin Cash, as part of their incentive for members of the community to back their version of how Bitcoin should develop. Pavel Urbatschka attempted to explain what the hard fork actually means.
Actually, this hard fork, anybody can do a hard fork. What it means is that you take the Bitcoin software, you change it in some way, which makes it incompatible with the previous software, and then you have another network, basically. So, and anybody can do it anytime because the software is open source. So you just take the software, change it, and you have your own Bitcoin. You can call it whatever you can. Mm-hmm. And the tricky thing is to make it popular with people. So you have to have some users, so your new Bitcoin would have value. And that's what is happening on 1st of August. Because there is a relatively big part of people that want to make some changes, which make the Bitcoin software incompatible to the previous software. And they try to... So, their software will have the same transaction history as Bitcoin, but it will be called Bitcoin Cash, not just Bitcoin. And they made some changes. So, the block size is bigger and some other things. So, if you have Bitcoin right now, then on 1st of August, tomorrow, you'll have the same amount of Bitcoin and also the same amount of this so-called Bitcoin Cash. So that's going to happen tomorrow.
All Bitcoin owners will get that cash, but the real test will be how much of it is accepted, traded, and what value it eventually has. Long term, this will be the key verdict on what version of Bitcoin development, the soft or hard, wins out. If the new Bitcoin Cash is more used and more trusted, then its value could be expected to soar at the likely expense of the original Bitcoin. Pavel Urbatschka says it's clear which side of the Bitcoin barrier he is on.
Let's say I'm a big Bitcoin maximalist, so I think, because of the network effect, because the Bitcoin has gone through a lot of new, experiences, it had to adjust, it's because of the anti-fragility, I think the Bitcoin will, at least in the near future, will retain the first position, which it has now.
Pavel Urbatschka ending that look at the latest tumult in the Bitcoin community by myself, Chris Johnston. That's all about us from now. If you've any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us through email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter and all those social things. We'll be very happy to hear from you. From Chris Johnston, myself, goodbye.